body experience, the warning, as a near-death experience is. And so when they would be put back into the body, many people that have seen Jesus, seen how he's looked on their sin, how they see where they're being judged. Some are even seeing judgment to hell. I mean, that would kind of wake you up a little bit. But some people, when they come back, they have this deep sense that they want to go to confession, that they have a guilt of sin. Some have a driving need to not only ask the Lord's forgiveness, but they want to have the forgiveness of the people that they may have offended. And so it's very conscious. In other words, when you're doing your life review, you see not only from your point of view, you're seeing from the point of view of the other people. So people that you've offended, you're going to want to come to them. You're going to be driven more after this experience to come and ask forgiveness for them. We should be doing that already, but sometimes after this kind of an experience, you definitely have a lot more change in your life. So people that have come back from a near-death experience, many people have been changed really dramatically. I'll just give you one example. We had a priest friend, we knew him, Father Shire. And Father Shire had a car accident, nearly broke his neck. But he was not going to daily mass. I mean, I'm not going, that's right. He wasn't going frequent confession. And he was had committed some mortal sins while he, you know, at that point. And so when he was called in this accident, our Lord actually condemned him to hell because of his sins and because he wasn't doing what he should have been doing as a priest. And Mary, I think there were people saying some Hail Marys for him on the way to the hospital. And so I think she interceded for him. This was what he told us. She interceded with Jesus just as he was about to pronounce his judgment to hell. And she said, if we give him enough grace, he could be a beautiful model or miracle, you know, for people to look up to after he comes back and changes. So she was able to talk to Jesus, and I mean, our Lord listens to his mother quite a bit. And so she talked to him, allowing Father Shire to come back. And so he was given that grace to come back into his body, and his whole life changed. He was kind of one of the good old boys kind of priests at the time, not doing probably as much as he should have been doing in the way of going to confession more. But so he changed his whole spiritual life that way. He no longer was worried about the collection and all the rest of it. He would tell the people what they needed to know without worry about the collection box. And he was he worked for Mother Nadine, the Intercessors of the Lamb, for a couple of years. Now he's back working in the diocese. But what I'm trying to share is, here was a man, a priest, who was actually seeing himself condemned to hell, number one, and really changed his life around because he didn't want to go to hell. I don't think he saw what that was all about. And so he changed dramatically in that turnaround. So many people that have a warning experience in the same way, when they return, are going to have the same desire to have their sins forgiven as well. And they're also going to be looking for forgiveness, you know, trying to ask other people to forgive them for what they have done to them. So this warning is a very important mercy from God. I think it's the most mercy from God that he's given us since Jesus died on the cross. That's how powerful this is going to be, because it's going to happen to everyone at the same time all over the world, and even the worst of the sinners are going to have the same opportunity for grace to change their whole life. So I'm going to share with you a little bit now about the warning experience and one of the messages I have here. I'm going to read you one message here, maybe two. One was on August 6, 2007. I could see a wheel broken into eight sectors, and it kept spinning very fast down a pipeline as in a time continuum. And then Jesus said, my people, this is another message concerning the warning and how you will experience it. I am showing you a wheel with cogs to make up eight sectors of 3 hours each of every day in your life. As the wheel spins one revolution, it represents one day in your life. The long line develops into the years of your life up until the warning, when everyone will face this life review and a mini judgment. Just look back at the end of one day and think of how much time you gave me, because in each of these, as you're going through this life review, you're going to be seeing how much time each day you spent with the Lord. So you're going to see it one way now or later. and the decisions that you made, either for good or bad. All of your sins will need reparation, and they will be weighed against your good deeds. At the end of your life review, you will be judged by my mercy or justice to heaven, purgatory, or hell. Then you will be given a second chance to improve your life so you can be better prepared for heaven. In other words, you'll be brought back into your body. Once you know the truth of your sins and how you should not offend me, you'll be more responsible for your actions, and people will definitely be changed. If you still choose the world instead of me, then you could be condemning yourself to hell. Wake up to improve your life before it is too late. I struggle to save everyone out of love, but I do not go against your free will. So our Lord will never, he's a gentleman, he never forces himself on us, and we have to choose to love him. He doesn't force himself on us. I want to share one message where he talked a little bit of this out-of-body experience. And this was on November 24, 2007. I could see and feel like a soul. This was just like I was feeling like the whole thing was happening to me. I could see and feel like a soul that was released from its body, and there was no attachment to the things of the world. So in other words, I could see and look down on my body. And once you are free of the body, it's just in a whole different feeling. You don't have any of the attachments. You're not looking at the clock, what your next appointment is. You're not thinking of anything worldly. You're just totally fixed on the Lord. I mean, you're just wandering a little bit, but you see the Lord in this experience. So it's really a different kind, a unique experience. And then I'll give it to you here. Jesus said, "My people, when you die and have an out-of-body experience, or have an out-of-body experience in a near-death event, or have the warning experience, because they're all very similar, you'll be completely detached from the things of this world. In that state, you'll wonder why you sought after so many material things that would only pass away and become useless or obsolete." So this is the whole thing. When we look at the worldly things outside, when you're out of your body, you wonder why was that a big love for me? I mean, it's just a thing. It's not going to do anything for my soul. So, I mean, sometimes you don't think that way, but when you're out of your body, you're going to think that way even more. But it's the spiritual things in your life that are most valuable. When you come face to face with your Creator, you will realize this truth even more. You do not need the separation of your body and soul in order to learn of these values, because you have my word and scripture to show you how important your soul is to your eternal life. This body will pass away because it is mortal, but your soul will live on because it is immortal. All the more reason to protect your soul from sin and renew the graces in your soul by repenting in confession and healing sin with Holy Communion. My sacraments are your source of spiritual food and graces to nourish your soul and keep it spiritually healthy. Love of me and souls should be your first desire, and not the things of the world that pass away. Keep your focus on praising me and evangelizing souls, and you'll receive your reward in heaven. Caring for your neighbor in action and prayer will also gain you treasure in heaven. So a lot of the good things that you're doing, sometimes you may not be thankful for it, or maybe you didn't get any, maybe you didn't get any money returned, or you didn't get any thank you for it. But the Lord will see whatever good thing that you've done for someone, and you will get some graces in heaven. Matter of fact, he said, if you look for too much praise and thanks here on earth, then you would have had your reward and you won't get anything added to heaven. So in one sense, you want to have the free, and then so you could get the treasure up in heaven more than here. One of the things I wanted to share about the warning is a couple of experiences you're going to have. After the warning, in other words, the warning is going to be one of the major events before things start happening leading up to the Antichrist coming into power. So the warning is the first of the major events. One of the things he told me after the warning is to get rid of our televisions, and I love televisions, I mean I like them, and I like the computer monitors and all that, because that's my hobby. But on the other hand, our Lord is saying that he doesn't want us to have those kind of devices around after the warning, because the Antichrist is going to come into power, and he's going to use those devices to project his image all over the world. And if you were to be entranced with his eyes, he could get you to worship him by either subliminal messaging on the television or different ways of power of suggestion to get you to worship him. So those kinds of things. So I'm going to read a message he gave about this whole idea of not looking at the eyes of the Antichrist. And it was a real graphic message, which is why I want to share that with you. This was on October 12th, 2007. I could see the large black eyes of the Antichrist as he was looking away from me. His eyes were as black and cunning as the eyes of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus said, "My people, I am giving you a brief glimpse of the eyes of the Antichrist, but not a direct gaze, because his demonic power of suggestion could even cause one of my elect to be attracted to his words and his wish for everyone to worship him. This is why, after the warning, I have asked my faithful to remove your TVs, your televisions, and computer monitors from your houses, so you do not look at his eyes," that's the Antichrist's eyes, "which could hypnotize you to his evil ways. Avoid this man and call on me to have your guarding angels lead you to my nearest refuge once he declares himself. This will be the true beginning of the tribulation of 3.5 years of his evil brief reign. I told you that I would shorten this time for the sake of my elect." And he actually showed me a physical, how this would happen. He showed me like a globe of the earth, and he was speeding it up faster on the axes so that the actual days and nights would be the same, the way we measure months and years and things, but the actual physical day would be something less than the 24-hour day we have now. That's how he would speed up the time. That's how, you know, we'd shorten it. "Prepare yourself spiritually by confession and physically with your backpacks ready for when you will leave your homes for my refuges." I'll talk a little more about that later. "There you will be protected by my angels and provided with your basic necessities. Have no fear of this time and trust in my power and my protection." Now, one thing I want to mention is about fear and peace. Now, any kind of fear, I mean, there's a gift of the Holy Spirit called fear of the Lord. That's like a fear of hell almost. But at the same time, any other kind of fear, any other anxieties, any other worries, all that thing, all the time thing that we're worrying about tomorrow or the next thing going to happen to us, all those kind of things are from the evil one. And so the more we worry, the more we have fears, we're really giving more power to the enemy, to the devil. And so that's why our Lord said to guard your peace. And so when you have the grace of Jesus in your heart, you have his peace in your heart. And by guarding it, it means that you don't want to have all these other fears and things that are going to take away that peace. So and as soon as you start feeling very uncomfortable with worries or different things, you're letting your peace get away. And so our Lord says by having complete trust and faith in him, then we won't have all these worries, no matter what happens to us. I tell people this. I mean, what's the worst that can happen to you? You die, you're martyred, you go to heaven. Instant saint. It's not that bad. Straight one-way ticket. But on the other hand, if you are called to the refuge, then our Lord is asking you to help in protecting you physically even, and helping others maybe to protect their souls as well. So we're called to do a beautiful work, this whole... matter of fact, after the warning, another thing he talked about, I'll just put it this way. Back at the time of 9/11, when the buildings were knocked down, a lot of people were frightened by that, and they started going back to church even. And then after about a month or so, they all went back to their old ways. So even if you can imagine with the warning, after a certain length of time, these people are going to think it was a mirage or a dream or something, and they'll go back to their old ways. So our Lord said, we will have to be working at a fever pitch after the warning, because there'll be weeks of preparation before the major things start happening. So during that time of conversion, we're going to be working at a fever pitch to try and get as many, especially the souls in our own family. Many times I'm praying over people when they come up after the meeting, and they're asking me to pray for their some people in their family that are, you know, fallen away and are no longer going to church anymore. And so I believe a lot of the prayers that we're saying for all those family members, and some are praying maybe 30 years for some people, but I believe that the time of the warning will be the biggest mercy those souls will get. And they'll be the most open after the warning to our evangelization efforts. So, I mean, they will still have free will. We can't force them to do anything. But at the same time,